There's a great need for Americans to appreciate what the founding fathers of this nation have given to us and then to pass that on to the next generation. The U.S. Constitution has been in operation ever since April 30, 1789. It has more than passed the test of time. But will it continue to endure? Tara Ross is an attorney and also an author, including the writer of some important books about the Electoral College, which is a brilliant aspect of our Constitution. In fact, Tara Ross explained the Electoral College for a 5-minute PragerU video, and that has become PragerU's single most watched segment. 66 million viewers. And now she's created a new book to explain what makes the Constitution so special. It's called We Created a Country, The Story of Our Constitution. And it's beautifully illustrated by Kate Sands. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And we now will talk with Tara Ross. And by the way, I've got to say this. I was reading portions of this book, even though it's a children's book, and I thought, oh, I'm learning things I didn't even know, and I kind of know a lot about this stuff, or I hope to. I try to. Tara, congratulations. That's just wonderful for everything, the book and then also the PragerU milestone.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, with the book, I really did. I mean, it is a kid's book, as you said, but I really tried to create it in a way that it would be accessible and would be useful for a wide variety of ages. And I really envision parents sitting down with their kids and reading this book together. And I did create a format that I hope will be useful for small children, to treat it like a chapter book, just doing one double page spread at a time, or maybe one or two at a time, so that they can get more information and I can put harder stuff in there and still not fly right over the heads of a first or second grader.
All right, very good. And on the cover, it looks like that certainly Ben Franklin, he's in front of Independence Hall where the Constitution was written. And then there's some people celebrating. Is part of that whole point the old story about the mayor's wife, Mrs. Powell, saying to Benjamin Franklin, hey, now that you've created this, what kind of government have you given us, Dr. Franklin? Is that part of the whole idea? And why don't you tell us the story?
Yes. And so he leaves the Constitutional Convention and they've just, you know, approved it to send to the states for ratification. And he's approached by this matron outside of the hall. And she says, doctor, what have we got? A republic or a monarchy? And he says, a republic, if you can keep it. And so and that is in the book, too. Like, it's important to understand we are not a simple democracy. A simple democracy. You've heard the example of two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. That's a simple democracy. And we have something better than that. We have a constitutional republic with safeguards for our liberty. And so, I think it's really important for our children to understand the country that they've been given us, you know, especially as we watch all the infighting and all of the stuff that's happening right now, or a Senate that appears to be practically frozen in place, can't get anything done. Like, the more that we have, the more information that we have, the knowledge is power, and we can take back control of our government and make it what it was supposed to be in the first place.
Would it be safe to say that gridlock with the federal government, within the federal government, is better than if the federal government were to be passing bad laws?
Oh, well, sure. I mean, I think, who was it that said, I think it was Calvin Coolidge. Was it Calvin Coolidge?
I don't
Somebody
know.
Said,
I like
basically,
him.
It's better to repeal bad laws than to implement new ones. there's definitely an element of that in there. But
all right, now you mentioned the example about the two wolves and the sheep, but I want you to just explain that as if somebody had never heard it before, because I think it's fantastic. You're absolutely right.
Well, I think it's important for us to remember what the founders were trying to do when they put this constitution in place. They had just fought a war against Great Britain, right? They fought for the right to be represented in their own government. They had no seat in parliament. They wanted to be self-governing. And so we fought a revolution. We lost sons, fathers, mothers, daughters in this fight for liberty and for the right to self-governance. But the founders remembered something that we forget. They knew that even if they had been given a seat in parliament, they would have been outvoted by the majority of citizens at home in England time and time again. So they knew a vote is not always enough to be represented, right? You need more in your government. And so they solve the problem. Like, how do you solve this dilemma? How do you be self-governing but protect from the the bare or emotional majority that's just going to tyrannize the rest of the country? So they solve their problem by creating a government with checks and balances, separation of powers. We divide, some power between the state government and the federal government. We put checks and balances on literally everybody. We assume that power, corrupts, people are fallible, and we need to be protected from all of that. And so, the Constitution that we have is just this unique blend of democratic, republican, small r principles, federalism. And it's been an experiment in self-governance that has lasted for nearly 250 years at this point.
All right, I'm going to quote your book. And again, this book is geared towards children, but even adults can understand. In fact, this is very informative. Okay, quote, "In a democracy, everyone votes and you have to accept the results, even if those results bully someone else. This is like two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. The wolves will vote to eat the sheep. A republic with checks and balances is more fair. It doesn't let two wolves vote to eat the sheep. Instead, the Constitution creates a system where people have to work together." Now, one of the interesting things, Tara, this gets back to the question, what do we have, a constitution or a democracy? You so often hear people on the news, elected representatives. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, for example, AOC talk about, so-and-so is attacking our democracy. But in effect, we have a republic. It's a republic with, the democratic principles at work. In other words, we, the people, get to vote who our representatives will be. But it's not a pure democracy, because if it were, it'd be like that, the sheeps and the goat, or the sheeps and the wolf that you were talking about. The wolves and the sheep.
Yeah. And I mean, as originally created, the founders were, you're talking about us voting. We do vote and we are represented, but they also wanted to balance that with, for instance, the Senate was supposed to be a place for the states to be represented as states. And that, to modern ears, sounds a little bit weird, but what that actually does is it gives the states a tool to protect themselves when when the federal government overreaches, or when the federal government tries to, gets too big. And so if you think about the 17th Amendment, is the reason that changed. It used to be that state legislators would select our United States senators. The 17th Amendment changed it. So that's why we vote for them now. And so now, instead of representing states, they represent us as people. But we already had representation in the House. That's what the House was supposed to be. And so, ever since the states lost their voice in the federal government because of the 17th Amendment, we have seen, just this explosion in the federal budget. We have all these unfunded state mandates and these other things that would not have existed if the states could have protected themselves from the overreach of the federal government as the founders had originally intended. So I guess I'm just going to try to go back to, we need to understand what we were given and what the founders meant by that and what they were trying to accomplish so that we can restore some of this.
Okay, very good. And as far as amendments are concerned, it's a very difficult process to amend the Constitution. And to this date, what, there's only about 27 or something amendments?
Right, something like that.
Yeah, and the first the first 10 of them were the Bill of Rights. They were passed, within, 1791. So in other words, they were passed very, very quickly. Also, I do think it's important to recognize that the Constitution is predicated on the Declaration of Independence. And the Declaration of Independence explains why we exist. And the Declaration says, look, our rights come from God. And that is a huge factor because, when you have a situation where there is no God or there's no recognition of that, then your rights are basically, you're at the mercy of the state, which may or may not be beneficent.
Yeah. And I mean, I think people really underplay that, but the founding generation knew that they needed that. Well, first of all, they believed that they won the revolution because God, Washington George Washington multiple times would credit divine providence and, you know, a call for public days of thanksgiving and prayer. He did that with the army. He did that with the nation. He thought it was really important that we acknowledge the intercession of divine providence, as he said, in our affairs, and that this was an important part of why we were a nation at all. And certainly in the Declaration of Independence, it's our rights are predicated on the fact that a higher being has given us, has given this to us. These are not things that a king should be able to take away.
Okay. In your book, you talk about the conflicts at the Constitutional Convention, big state, little state. Explain about that.
Yeah. So, you know, again, the format of the book is a series of double page spreads because I want kids to be able to get more than they, your normal kid's book is just kind of like, oh, they went to Philadelphia. Yay. They had a little fight, but they figured it out. Yay. We have a constitution. And I wanted to get bit, you know, deeper than that, but it's overwhelming. It's an overwhelming amount of information. So I dealt with it by doing these double page spreads. So the first double page spread is, oh, we had a convention. We smart guys came, they represented the states, they were well educated. The second double page spread is big and small states were fighting. Why were they fighting? And talking about the differences there. And then the next page was about the Great Compromise, which is of course what we have when we have a Senate that is one state, one vote representation, basically, and a House that is population-based voting. So I just tried to go through all of it. I wanted the kids to get everything. I wanted them to hear about separation of powers and federalism, but to do it in a way where I'm using small words, like when you read the excerpt, I didn't say tyrant, I said bully. You know, the king was being a bully. Every kid knows what that is. So I just really wanted to make it as accessible as possible.
What is the Articles of Confederation and why is that important for most Americans to know, or really all Americans?
So the Articles of Confederation were basically, they were basically our first constitution. They were drafted during the war. It took most of the war to finally get all the states to ratify it, but they did. And so then we tried to govern ourselves that way for a little while, but it wasn't working. And it wasn't working because there was really nothing to make the states work together. I mean, literally one state could blackball everything. So, it was not functional. The Confederation Congress did not have enough power to do the things that it would need to do to provide for defense and that sort of thing. And so this is the reason, is one of the reasons, economic reasons also, why a constitutional convention was called. They knew they needed something better to make the states work together. As a team. That's what I say in the book. As a team, we needed to work together as a team.
And there was one state that didn't even bother, they did not bother to send any representatives, and that was Rhode Island. Of course, it's a small state, but still, you know, it's an interesting point. It's my understanding that later when asked about that kind of thing, essentially James Madison said that, you know, the reason we did this is because the other thing was just not working at all. I mean, it could have, you know, the whole American experiment could have fallen apart because of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they really thought that it might. You're right that Rhode Island did not go. Did you know that Rhode Island used to be called Rogues Island? Because they were always just kind of going their own way and doing their own thing. But they thought that the Constitution, or they feared that the Constitutional Convention would end up creating a constitution that just decimated their rights as a, you know, the smallest state. So it took them a while to get on board, but they finally did. And you know, I think it's worth mentioning that I believe it was Delaware. Like their delegates were not allowed to vote for any constitution that would take away the one state, one vote that I mentioned before, because that's what they had been used to in the Articles of Confederation. And in the end, they ended up deciding that this was a good blend that they could, you know, support this. And Delaware, in fact, was the first state to support the Constitution.
Okay, we have 20 seconds left. How about a comment on America 250 and your new book?
Oh, well, it's our birthday, and I hope that we use the year. We've had all of, you know, we've had hockey, going to the moon, all this stuff. I hope that patriotism surges, and I hope that learning about our Constitution is right up there with it.
All right. We Created a Country, The Story of Our Constitution by Tara Ross, TaraRoss.com. Tara is spelled T-A-R-A. Thank you, Tara. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.